Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Monet, I was just looking up the Anchor app. Have you heard about this?
I've heard of it. Something to do with podcasts, right?
Okay, so Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. And they have this like creation tool that lets you record a podcast and edit it right from your phone or your computer.
Oh, that's right, because they can distribute your podcast for you, and it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the other podcast distribution places, right?
Oh, and you will get the listeners, honey, and when you get the listeners, you make the coin thottas. Mm-hmm. But here's the crazy thing. You actually don't have to have a minimum listenership to get money. You can still make coins.
So it's essentially every single thing you need to make a podcast all in one place.
Oh, you're just so tickled. You love the idea of making podcasts. I love you, Monet.
I love
you. Now listen, if you want to download the free Anchor app, you can also go to anchor.fm and get started.
Is music a big part of your life? Let me tell you about Anchor, Spotify's podcasting platform. There are creation tools that allow you to easily and quickly record and edit right from your phone or computer. And best of all, Miss Stang, she is free. With Anchor, you can create a Music Plus talk show. With Music Plus Talk, you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes, alongside talk segments featuring your commentary. Miss Day, this is revolutionary. This is the future. This is happening now. Music Plus Talk is a new way to create with all the music that you love. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's from music analysis, your own radio show, a hosted playlist, a deep dive on your favorite genre or artist, or something the world's never heard before. You can do it with Anchor Music Plus Talk. Anchor will even help publish your show on Spotify so you can reach hundreds of millions of listeners. Got an idea for a Music Plus Talk show? Just head over to anchor.com/musicplustalk. That's anchor.fm/musicplustalk to sign up for Anchor and make your own Music Plus Talk show for free.
My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
On today's episode, Bob just woke up.
We talk about crying.
And we find out what made Bob say this.
Jackie would not like to hear all this shit talking about West Indian people.
And we find out what made Monet Exchange say this.
I feel like I'm getting like welling up with tears.
Bob, before we start this podcast, are you interested in engaging with me with a little bit of prayer?
No. But you can pray.
Father God, as Bob the Drag Queen and I come together, Lord, on this night to record this podcast, Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you let our voices be used to edify the name of Sibling Rivalry, Jesus. That today, that this podcast will serve to uplift, edify Jesus, to exemplify the excellence, the exemplarence of fierceness, ferocity, and drag, Lord. And we just ask that the words that come from my lips, Jesus, and God, oh, hallelujah, that it comes from God's lips, Lord, that comes from Bob's lips, Lord, will be the words on the wings of babes that will soar like eagles, Jesus, that will cast, Lord, the amazing, undequibliteous purpose of queerness, gayness, and overall curiosity. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
You ain't got Monique's on. This is obviously Monique.
Okay, Bob, we started, okay, it's Sibling Rivalry people watching. From the time Bob the Drag Queen has sloshed his ass up here, he has not cracked a smile. He has not said a hello. He looks like he is bothered to fucking be here today. And I want to set the record straight. I have come with an open spirit. I have missed Bob. I have not seen you for a couple days, even though it was maybe like, what, 5 days ago? I still miss you very much. And you sent a text message to me the other day, and literally just reading it, I literally almost cried. But you have come here giving me, I don't know what this energy is, but I need you to fix it, Jesus.
Well, to quote you a couple episodes back, what's the energy? What is what have I done differently? Do you remember that?
Roberta, I miss you so mad. Can you please smile for me? Come on, baby. Give me a little smile, baby. Give me a little smile.
You're ridiculous. Let me also not mention to y'all that I'm sleepy.
Bob, you stay sleepy. You stay sleepy.
I woke up out of my sleep. Monet tried to do the podcast an hour later than we're supposed to do it.
Okay.
Did you not? Did
I make that up? I want to point out there have been many times where, because of your busy schedule, where you have had to change dates, so have I. So this is not a new thing that we change. Like, we move the time around a little bit to accommodate both of our schedules. So it was just, and then when I said an hour later, Jacob was like, "No, Bob is he's a different time zone. Can we do half an hour?" I said, "Sure." Which we met at half an hour. So please don't act like you're acting like I pushed the podcast 8 hours. Like, can we do it 8 hours later? It's 30 minutes, Mama. 30 minutes, baby.
Well, You also acting like I was. That's the thing about 2021, y'all. your whole life been on the internet. So Monet's like, I need more time. Monet's always some. We've accommodated you because of your job. Monet is in her living room hanging out with her buddies.
I'm not. But first of all, I flew into town this afternoon. I landed in LA at 3 p.m. this afternoon. My family's. What is this face? What is this face, bitch? I was working. My family is my three aunts from the East Coast are visiting me.
Oh my God.
From the East Coast, and I took them out to dinner and stuff, and things are running late because I'm with three beautiful, rambunctious, crazy West Indian women. Things are running a little late, so I pushed the time.
What do you think about West Indian women?
That they are fierce, funny, rambunctious, and literally
time wise.
I'm having
one of my best friends was in there. Watch what you say about West Indian people. One of my best friends is West Indian.
Bob, I miss you so much. That technology you sent, I'm not kidding. You sent it. And yeah, I was literally.
Jackie would not like to hear all this shit you're talking about West Indian people.
I was literally on the verge of tears when you sent it. I don't know why. I'm also having like a very emotional past couple of days. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I don't know if you're feeling. I feel like I'm getting like welling up with tears. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even being funny. I've been such an emotional couple of days, and I'm trying not to. I don't want to cry on camera. I don't know. Just a lot of great things are happening, and I'm not even being funny. I really want to start crying. I'm not trying to.
What's happening in your life?
Just lots of beautiful things, and I'm just so happy, and I miss you. Oh my God, I'm fucking crying on camera. This is ridiculous. Come on.
What is going on? My sweet little baby. Oh my God.
I'm really crying on camera and I don't want to cry. I hate when people cry on camera. It's so stupid. Like, you know, when people do Instagram lives and they start crying, like, what the fuck are you crying? Oh my God. Oh my God. This is insane. This is insane. Oh my God. What is happening? I don't even know. I'm just so happy.
My sweet baby. Well, I'm glad that you're so happy. I love you.
So great things.
I love you very, very much. And I'm really happy to be your friend.
Oh,
and,
my God. What is happening?
You're emotional. I text Monet the other day.
I am like really going through it.
Were you sipping on something a little bit today?
I was not sipping. I had one cocktail today.
Oh my God. Monet, you're so sweet. You really.
I'm like, I'm just.
Well, your life is just so fruitful right now. It's producing the fruits in your reaping, you're harvesting. You're harvesting everything from all of your hard work, and it's all coming to fruition right now. And I'm happy to be able to be a part of your remarkable journey. I texted you the other day. You're gonna laugh at me, but I was on TikTok anyway. And it was like this was hard to listen to, and it was this lady listening. It was this lady receiving bad news about someone in her family, and she was just so sad. And I was like, "Oh my God, that is just so sad." And I feel like if I were to be, told that Monet was dying, I'd just be really upset. I take Monet and I say, "You're not allowed to die before me."
I know, and I was just, and that just brought a whole wave of emotions for me, which that is very rude. You also sent it at like 10:30 p.m. I was just about to go perform. Oh, you said that the time you sent it, I was just about to do something important. I was like, not about to do this.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, which means where I was at, it was 8 p.m. So I was, I mean, yeah, oh my God. So I read that. I was like, not about sending me this. I was like, all I could text was, aw. Because I couldn't text anything else. I was feeling so emotional at that moment.
This is going to be one of those moments that people are going to be like, I love their relationship so much. Get you a friend like Bob and Monet.
What is his voice?
You know my voice I do when I'm imitating people. Let me turn this air off real quick. Hold on one sec.
God. My God.
Monet, you're so funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to be a human being.
I know. Oh, I'm awake now. I just woke up. Like, when I tell you, like, I'm telling you, like, I woke up. I had to be on this call at 11:30. I woke up at 11:29. And I was like, here I come. And then I had to use the restroom. And then after using the restroom, 6 minutes later, I logged on to this
Did you have Chipotle for lunch? What had you in the percolating that long?
Well, I think that you and I both know that I take longer in the restroom than most people, except when I'm peeing. When I'm peeing, I'll be back in like 3 seconds.
Let me tell you something. Bob goes to pee. You can count the milliseconds go by. Bob will enter the restroom, come out, and maybe a second has turned over on the clock. I'm like, this is insane.
But when it comes to, the other one, I tend to, take a little bit of time. So then I sat down, and when I sat down, Monet was like praying, and I was like, oh, God. She's doing this to irritate me. And then I was like, and then my microphone wasn't plugged in, so I was like, oh my god, can you please
so Bob is on the call, and Bob, y'all know Bob when he's in his serious mode, deadpan, not a smile. Jacob, do you mind stopping the recording so I can plug in my microphone, please? And I was like, oh.
But it wasn't attitude. It wasn't like,
I know, it was not attitude at all. It was just sleepy, disoriented Bob being like, Jeff, can you stop recording so I can plug my mic in, please? I was like, oh.
you are so silly. So is all the good stuff happening in your life? Is it just like, is it one of those like, can't talk about it? Or is it like,
It's the one of them I'd rather not talk about, but the other thing is they're just good.
Monet, you do love to get on the podcast and talk about things you can't talk about. You're like, it's just, big project, can't talk about it. We'll tell you guys soon. Hashtag big things coming. Hashtag we out here working hard. Hashtag you'll see. Hashtag in due time. Hashtag I'm like, oh my God.
One of them is a lot. Some professional career stuff that is growing great. And two, my family is visiting me here from the East Coast. And we went out today and, you know, it's like I've said before, I come from a very conservative West Indian. A lot of you guys who are West Indian, who are African, lots of Asian folk also identify with this as well. I don't know, something about those three cultures, they seem to be very similar in the way that they regard queerness and a lot of, there are many parallels between those three ethnic identities that I find a lot. And then so they're all visiting me here and they're these great women, and just to see them just be so happy and proud of me, and literally every restaurant we go to, hey, you need to play Love Like This, you need to play Beyonce, you need to Soak It Up. I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, and just to see them just be so happy and just so free and so proud, and especially growing up, I just never thought this would ever in my life be a reality where my family would want to celebrate me and be so open and free about it. It just means so much to me.
I mean, you are your ancestors' wildest dreams. You ever seen those you ever heard that meme or that t-shirt?
No.
It's like a black thing, and it says, you are your ancestors' wildest dreams. I think about that about myself a lot. I think to myself, you know, I had some ancestors who were products of, you know, American chattel slavery, and mm-hmm. I'm out here, and some of them were queer. I mean, statistically speaking.
Right.
I know that some of them were queer. You know what I mean? Right. So imagine if they could see my big black queer drag queen ass today, you know, on We're Here, like, you know,
Lucifer's popping off, bitch. I have seen, if I get tagged in one more Lucifer screen grab, I'm going to fucking delete my Instagram. Stop tagging me, Lucifer.
Why are they tagging you in that?
Oftentimes, people will tag me and stuff with you because they just associate us together a lot. They're like, Bob, yeah, the drag, Bob turned it up in Lucifer, Monet Exchange, tag two. I'm like, let Bob have his flowers, give her moment.
You know, when you were in
Lovecraft
Country, I was like, yo, I know one is on Lovecraft Country, y'all. I promise you, I know. She's on Lovecraft Country. Thank you so much for letting me know that. That really means a lot to me. But, bitch, I've been... Also, last time, I just want to give the fans a little bit of closure. I don't even know how long. It was months ago at this point. Maybe almost half a year ago at this point. On one of our podcasts, Monet was in a hotel. And Monet was like, I can't say where I am or why, but let's just say... And at the time, it was because you were doing The Bachelor. The Bachelorette.
Oh yes, that was I had the tan and white stripe thing. It was the episode about driving. I was filming The Bachelorette,
and that was one of the times where everyone was like, Monet loves to be doing a super secret project that she can't tell nobody about.
I couldn't say it,
but again, you know, sometimes for me, whenever I'm doing something I can't talk about, I'll try to avoid the topic altogether.
So tell us where you're at now.
Well, you're doing the thing where you're making it a thing. But I'm excited that we are wrapping out. We're doing the final episode of We're Here.
Bitch! The We're Here trailer. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to Kanye West Taylor Swift you right now. Bitch, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the mother tucking We're Here season 2 trailer had dropped it. And Bob, sorry to these girls, Eureka and Shangela, you ain't no crumbs, baby. All your look, and everyone looks amazing. I'm not trying to shade anyone, but Mama,
Mona, you're being so sweet to me. You know, I was really proud. I mean, you know,
I told you this before. Yeah, Bob, you. I mean, obviously, the jaw drop of the season is your fucking, that blue lady. Okay, so now I can talk about it. When you sent it to me, on Facebook, when you were like, did it in real time, my mouth was agape. I was gagged. I was like, this is insane. You look so good.
So for everyone wondering what it is in one of the episodes, I wear this. Like, I've never done a titty plate. I've never done a titty bib ever once in my life. And I did this like pumped up, like Juvederm, Botox, filler, housewife. So good. Everyone in the comments keeps calling me Candy Burris.
Not Candy Burris.
Of course, my mom was selling like Black China. but it is giving very much like reality TV star, like overly done up. With the, by the way, that's a human hair piece that I'm wearing, by the way.
Mom, it's a human hair.
It's like a long, it's like a high pony, long human hair down to like the middle of my back. So I gotta tell folks, like, honestly, what makes Weird Hair such an exciting show is like, bitch, when you give a queen like a budget and a team, like we each have like a RuPaul style team on this show. Mm-hmm. We have like a dedicated designer who has a team themselves, and then we each have a makeup artist, and we each have a person to help us produce our stories and stuff. So, thank you so much. I saw you hyping me up, Monet. That really meant a lot to me. And maybe
this contributed to my emotions too, because when the trailer dropped, I was like, oh my God, I swear, I'm not even timing this episode. When the trailer dropped, I just felt so proud because the amount of work that I know that you personally put into We're Here, I just felt so proud to see the trailer.
Oh my God, Monet, you're gonna make me cry. Let's take a break.
What the fuck is going on?
Let's take a break, Monet.
Please, take a break.
I have to tell you about an amazing new service I found called Framebridge. Now, Framebridge makes it easier and more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving the house. Add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift from art prints and diplomas to photo settings on your wall. You can Framebridge just about anything. Here's how it works. Go to framebridge.com and upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item online in dozens of frames and gallery wall layouts. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Instead of hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, our listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code RIVALRY. Order online at framebridge.com or stop by a Framebridge store to work with a designer in person if you're in New York, DC, Atlanta, or Philadelphia. For me, it's great for all my fan art. I have a lot of that because I'm incredibly famous, and it comes in very specific sizes, and it is hard to find somebody who can frame them all at a good price. Get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code RIVALRY to save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code RIVALRY. Framebridge.com, promo code RIVALRY.
Now, I know a lot of y'all love coffee and y'all need it to get you through the day, but honey, not anymore. The new favorite coffee replacement is True Niagen. True Niagen fuels the body's energy engines, maintains cellular metabolism, and even supports heart health. I have more energy and I don't need them extra cups of coffee since I started taking Miss True Niagen, honey. She is a whippersnapper. With 11 published human clinical studies and backed by Nobel Prize winners, True Niagen is a supplement that's clinically proven to boost NAD levels, an essential coenzyme required for cellular energy and repair. Since taking True Niagen, I have more resiliency. It helps my muscles recover after I work out, because y'all know she be up in the gym working on her fitness. And I just have more zest for life, girl. I feel like I have a little sparker whipper that is getting me through. And I add more vitality to my body and my life with True Niagen. Right now, new customers can save 10% on their first purchase by going to TrueNiagen.com/rivalry. That's TrueNiagen.com/rivalry to save 10% on your first purchase. TrueNiagen.com/rivalry. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code RIVALRY to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Finding the motivation to work out and eat healthy has always been a struggle for me, not gonna lie to y'all. But this all changed me once I find MyFitnessPal. And trust me, I know, I thought it was also just for counting calories, but MyFitnessPal actually teaches me about my nutrition and fitness habits and helps me create new ones that stick. I mean, what's more motivating than that? MyFitnessPal isn't a rigid diet plan. Instead, you gradually learn from personalized data what works for you. And if your version of healthy looks different from mine or someone else's, that's okay. The whole point is helping you find what's best for you, helping find your own path to set your own goals. Even better is a MyFitnessPal premium membership. I have one and I get custom tools and expert guidance to help me reach my personal health goals my way. App customization lets you choose the right settings to help you meet your individual goals. So if you're into macro tracking, low carb, heart health, etc., you can stick to it more easily. Premium's deeper nutritional insights help you discover which foods fuel you best. And with MyFitnessPal, you're not going at it alone. You have access to guided daily workout and meal plans written by dietitians and exercise scientists. Plus, MyFitnessPal does way more than just count calories. Get the support you need to meet your health goals. Unlock all the amazing things MyFitnessPal can do, like I did. Start your premium membership today. Go to rivalry.myfitnesspal.com and use code RIVALRY to get a 1 month premium membership for free. That's rivalry.myfitnesspal.com code RIVALRY for a free 1 month membership.
Fuck.
But you were so emo, girl.
I was so emo today. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what is going on. Oh my God. Bitch, pull it together.
It's the moans.
No, but okay, I'm together. Okay, we're back.
All right, we're
but
back.
No, I have seen all the hard work that you put into it, Roberta, and I just see the trailer and to know all the shit that you've done. I'm just like, I was just so proud to see it.
Oh, you're being so sweet to me today. I mean, which leads us into our topic today. Today we're talking about crying, and I've always said Monet's the queen of segues, and you really ate this one, girl. Monet said, "Oh, bitch, I remain the queen of segues. My segue is gonna stay on point." Are your aunts in your home right now?
Yeah, they're in my living room dancing to Calypso and Soca. They are living their lives, girl. They're having such a good time.
So I saw the video, and I assumed that these were your family members, if you don't mind me saying why. Because I feel like Monet typically talks about, like, all of her, like, any of Monet's friends who I don't know, like, if I knew Monet's friends that I know through her, I pretty much know who each of them are. And I've seen, but then these two people, I was like, Monet was like my favorite women. I was like, I don't even know these. Like, I have not. And then one of them is a little bit older than Monet. And I was like, this must be like an auntie or somebody in Monet's family for Monet to like know these Caribbean ladies who are all dancing to Love Like This, which must be a really amazing feeling. They're all like in your house, dancing to your song in your living room, in your big, beautiful home with your couch.
Finally, I have a couch.
And your cat. Do what, Mo? Jacob? Yeah, what are your family members
they
still calling?
They haven't met calling yet. Okay, so I had to, so my family came in on Thursday and I left
my
Thursday.
My calling is failed.
Then I left Thursday. So I was like, I cannot like leave Thursday and like my aunts have never been to my home. They don't know what they're doing. I cannot just leave my cat here. So Colleen's at the pet sitter. I pick her up tomorrow and then Colleen's coming back home because I just landed today.
So you admit that Colleen is a lot and it'd be really hard for her to be around people.
For people who have never cared for a cat, yes, that is a lot to ask them to care for my cat. Oh my God, I drink smart waters too. Oh my God. No, I'm kidding. Could you imagine? I started crying over a drink of smart water.
Not over smart water. Do you cry easily?
I really don't. Bob, when have you ever seen me cry? I do not cry easily. I cannot tell you
the last. Roll the footage.
I cannot tell you the last time I cried. That's why I don't know. But again, I still like a lot of stuff. This is, I'll tell you off camera. Don't try to do no shady shit. I'll tell you off camera. Something.
I'm not the one trying to get you to tell me where you are. That's you. That's your cup of tea.
Something extra, extra, extra sweet happened today that really like set me off, I think.
And I mean, maybe I've seen you cry more than most people, but I've seen you cry, I mean, quite a few times. I think I've seen you cry more than five times for sure.
Okay, name. When?
Well, you and I have had several sweet moments where we would just cry because we were feeling sweet at the time. I've seen you tear up too, just from straight up tearing up in general. You cried on the podcast like two or three times. We cried
Black Lives Matter.
We cried talking about raising children.
Oh yeah, we did. The one about
and
children.
I think there's like maybe
the one about parenting.
That's what it was. Yeah, you cried. I feel like you cried when I won Drag Race. I feel like you did.
Oh, I absolutely did. I think there's a video of me crying at pieces, looking like a blubbering fool.
But I remember you cried like with me, like you and I, like because you were at pieces. I was. You were in the West Village. I was in Midtown. Mm-hmm. That was a real crazy day.
That was like, wild.
I mean, me and Monet can. I mean, we're not trying to be like elitist, but like winning Drag Race is such a weird,
crazy
experience because, first of all, I have like cried over pageants that I've lost and or come close to winning that I worked on for like a month. Okay, Drag Race is, and I mean like at a local club gig. I infamously broke down at Saliva Tuesdays. And so when you like go on RuPaul's Drag Race, which y'all don't realize, but by the time you pack up for Drag Race, and the time the finale airs, it is almost a year.
Yeah.
Of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's a very big chunk of your life. That's just a very big chunk. And in that time, you're just thinking about the could have beens, the what would have happened, and how it's all going to turn out. For me, my experience, I kept on playing a lot of those things in my mind, like throughout that entire year, waiting for it to air. And you just start to build a lot of emotion up from there.
When you won Drag Race, was it? Because I know there's a video of you and Trinity together, and then like when you won. I mean, I don't know what was in Trinity's mind, and I can only engage in conjecture, but it felt like she's a pageant queen, and it felt like she was like pageanting her, like telegraphing her emotion, shall I say? Anticipating something, and then also was a little bit shocked because she was either prepared to like win and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, Monet, but I'm glad I won, or be like, congratulations, Monet, you deserve to win, and I didn't. But then she got the third option, which she wasn't even ready for, which was, you both won.
Is it treated like this?
Yeah, and Monet is like, in like true typical Monet fashion. Like, and weren't y'all at a Kacey Musgraves concert?
Okay, so we watched it at the bar across from World of Wonder. We watched it in this bar. That's the reaction you're talking about. We were watching it.
There's
at
a bar across from World of Wonder.
Yeah, and we watched it there with like the World of Wonder.
That place literally across the street.
Literally across the street, next to Marco.
Is that a straight bar?
It's a straight bar.
Listen, we did not throw bricks at Stonewall to have Drag Race having their announcements at a straight bar.
Yeah, we did that, and then that's when we both found out with the rest of the world, and then we did that private screening, and then the rest of the world found out later, and then after like so that happened at like maybe 3:30 in the afternoon, that video y'all saw, and then later that night at like 10:30 we went to the Kacey Musgraves concert, and then she announced it in front of everyone.
No spoiler alert, just straight up.
Imagine, Carrie brought her boyfriend Johnny to the Kacey Musgraves concert, and they DVR Drag Race. They're like, babe, she's like, babe, when we go home later, I want to watch Drag Race together. And he's like, oh, okay, babe. And then they're at Kacey Musgraves concert, and she's like, Monet and Trinity won! And Kelsey was probably mad as hell. Carrie, whatever I said her name was, mad.
I mean, but it is a cool way to be there and be like, oh my God, they won, and also now they're standing in front of me. And true. You all come out and like, during one of her songs or what?
Yeah, it was the "Have you seen it all? Seen it all?"
I thought she did a country version of "Champion Greatest."
That
would have
been great. Oh my God! See, this is why Bob always has great ideas. Bob, why didn't you tell her management team? If she would have done her little own version of "Champion," that would have been fierce.
Where was I when you won RuPaul's Drag Race?
I was.
Was I on Work the World?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember when I spoke to you. I don't remember.
Oh no, but I was in New York City because I remember you came back. Oh my God, this is actually one of my favorite memories of me and you ever. This is like one of my favorite memories.
What?
You came back and we did the show at the Bell House. And
oh yeah.
It was like right after you win, like within a week of you winning.
Yeah.
We did the show at the Bell House.
Yeah.
And there's this video online, and I reposted and I said, when you force your little sister to perform for your mom in the living room. And it's me and Monet doing Disco Inferno. And we're doing, oh, now I'm going to cry. We were doing, so I went out first and I was like doing the number. And everyone cheered because everyone was like, we love Bob. But then when you came out and they were all just like going so, I mean, it was, they were going so crazy. You had just won Drag Race and it was like in this big room and everyone was like just, it was really wild to be able to be in there because I feel like I've been there. I mean, when you were competing at the Monster, and not at the Monster, at Saliva at the Ritz.
Saliva, bitch.
And I, like, this is like, so in my head, I'm seeing like the drag queen who like glued feathers to the shoes, to the wedges, to the espadrilles. The queen who glued feathers to the espadrilles, and you had this weird like feather hat. And like, Monet was wearing those hideous feather lashes. They were so bad. And Monet would put in white contacts and then just like draw like squigglies under her eyes. And she thought like, Monet was really into like military jackets back then too. And Monet was like, bitch, I am literally the winner of this week. I won. And Monet didn't even place, but then turn around and like, you're in this room and we're in our matching outfits and everyone's just like screaming.
It was amazing.
And it was like, I mean, obviously they recognize you from the back. If the two of us turn around, they're going to recognize you from the back for obvious reasons. But it was just so great. So if y'all like, well, it's if you're in the Patreon right now, you can scroll back. I think we have these things like saved in like little tabs, and there's like live performances. And we've not been able to do a Sibling Rivalry live in such a long time, and the energy at those live shows used to just be so crazy.
Can we do a one off? Can we do in the fall? Can we please just do an LA and New York? Let's just do an LA and New York. One LA show, one New York show. Because our show, our live, because it will be announced soon. Our tour is coming in 2022, but we're changing up the show a little bit. So I think, Bob, we can do an LA and a New York and just do the old show because we're doing a different one.
Yeah, I mean that'd be really amazing, and we could I mean
the Globe Theater, the Ace Theater, honey, 2,000 down easy.
I mean, honestly, we really could like it's just so wild to think about us performing for like when I say no one at the Monster. I need y'all to know there are times where we were literally performing for like three drunk people. Like, am I lying? But am I telling the truth? There were times.
We
had busy nights at the Monster. We did have some busy nights at the Monster.
For sure.
But there were nights where we just had, y'all remember, I would get into a physical altercation with a patron at Hardware, and then Monet and Ms. Crack would perform for Caitlin.
Bitch, not even the bartenders wanted to be. They're like, can we clock out? Can we go? This is not worth my time. Yeah.
So it is really wild to be on this, you know, this remarkable journey with you. So
can y'all please sound off in the comments? If we did a New York show and an LA show, would you guys come? Or do you guys want to see that? Are y'all interested in if we do that? And comment for real. Don't be just like, yeah! And then when we post it, you're like, no, bitch. Comment if you're really going to come. Full tea.
Did you cry a lot as a kid? Were you a crybaby?
I was not a crybaby as a kid. I mean, I would cry when I would get like beatings, but I wasn't like, if I didn't get my way, I didn't cry.
Beatings?
Yeah, I would. My mom beat me with a belt. I got beat with a belt. Also, I went to school in Saint Lucia.
In my mind, a whooping and a beating, I mean, if it was a belt, that's a whooping.
And what's a beating?
Are like throwing hands.
Okay. I guess whoopings then. I got whooped pretty often. Because I was always talking in class. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't stop. Bitch, I could not stop talking in class. I would every report card. Because in St. Lucia, it was old school. I guess in the States, too. Where they would, like, write a thing. And they would, like, physically write. It wasn't, like, a printout with your grades. It was
There used to be one stock card.
Uh-huh.
They would write your name, your grade, and then how comments. You are doing.
Yeah. And I would always be like, Kevin is great. Kevin is really smart, but he won't stop talking in class. Literally every teacher.
I literally got the same. That's so crazy. I get the same report cards over and over again. He will not stop talking. How do we get him to stop talking? He just won't stop talking.
And would Miss Martha give you whooping because you wouldn't stop talking?
No. My mother very, very rarely used any corporal punishment on us. Like, very rarely.
Gag, bitch. Mom would tear it up.
So, my mother would give us an option a lot of times. So, if we, let's say we, me and my brother both do. Me and my brother, we always got in trouble together. It was never one at a time. So, if one of us broke something, then we were both like, we broke it. It was us. I am Spartacus,
this
bitch.
This is
us. We both broke this. This is us. And then, so my mom would be like, all right, y'all broke this bowl. So how do you want to get a whooping or do you want to get be grounded? And my brother would always take the whooping. So that way, if you get whooping, you can just go outside right away.
Yeah.
I would take the grounding because I didn't want to get hit. So I would take the grounding. But then Justin would play right outside the window. Like, he would literally only play outside the window and be like, I'm having so much fun. Oh my God. I feel this is so great to be having this much fun because I'm not grounded. And then I would get really mad, but like, I would like my whooping now. And she'd be like, no, you made your mind up. You're grounded.
Tell you, every time you talk about your child, how you were raised, Bob, it makes so much sense about the person you are today. It literally tells me everything I need to know about you.
What does that mean?
Because the fact that you're like, oh no, you chose that, Bob, that sound, that is literally how you are today. I was like, no, Monet, no, you already said what you wanted. You already said what you wanted to do. Now we're gonna do this thing. That is so you.
Oh, I just want to point out that I give people space to change their minds. I don't make people hold into their decisions, you know.
I was not a big crybaby as a kid, but you were. I heard that you was a crybaby girl.
So I'll try to get some pictures so Jacob can send them. So I cried. I mean, when I say at the drop of a hat, I need you to know I'm not kidding around. Like, I would just cry.
Could you cry on cue? Were you crying on cue? Like, were you crying because your mom said something, or you were like, I know she's gonna say something, so I'm gonna cry to make the punishment less severe?
Okay, the punishment was never less severe because I cried all the time. The crying did not work on my mom, and I was just a very emotional child.
So you were Monet Exchange today, just emotional.
Yes. I was riddled with emotion, and I would just be like, anything would just make me cry. I mean, I cried. I told you I cried when my brother's birthday is January 2nd. So mm-hmm. because it's so close to Christmas, that's what, 8 days after Christmas, my mom, we just didn't have enough money to have Christmas and then my brother's birthday party. So Justin, growing up, never got to celebrate his birthday on his birthday. Mm-hmm. He would get like one small little thing. Like, I think my mom would just like set a Christmas present aside and give it to Justin 8 days later because she just couldn't afford to give Justin a celebration on his birthday. Because his birthday is the second day of the year. So Justin celebrated his birthday on my birthday for a long time, June 22nd. So 6 months later, Justin would celebrate his birthday, which is kind of crazy. I would have never let that fly. I would have been causing a scene as a child. I would have been like crying, acting a mess, just being wild. And then one time on my birthday, which is our celebration, mind you, Justin got more physical bills than mm-hmm, I got. Mm-hmm. I had more money than him. Like, I had like a 20 and he had like 3 fives. Right. And I remember being like, Justin has more money than me. This is so unfair.
Did you cry?
And I did cry? I caused a scene. Like, I didn't, it wasn't just like sobbing. It was like loud crying. It was like show stopping. Like, everyone has a pause to watch me cry. My mother would do this thing whenever I would cry. She would whip out a camera and take pictures of me. Whenever I cried. So, but, and she'd be like, look at you crying.
I love that. And I say, when I see kids crying in public, I'd be like,
and then she would pose with me like this, and she'd be like, and then I would just be sobbing. So there's all of these pictures of me growing up as a kid, and I am like, I remember crying so hard, like my throat hurt. And I was just like, you know, you're crying and you're like coughing. You're like, like you're coughing, you're heaving, like everything. And my mom was just in the picture like.
When I see kids fucking crying in public, that shit irritates me. I just feel so bad for the parents. The other day at the airport, this woman, it was just this woman and like her 4 kids, and they were all, they had to be all between, like none of them could be older than 5 years old. And I'm just, one is in a stroller, one is in her arm, one of them is helping her push the stroller, the other one, and she just trying to corral these kids to just get through security. And 2 of them are crying. One is, I was like, poor, Jesus Christ, children are fucking the worst. This woman just could not get, she just could not do anything. These kids were ruining her fucking day. No,
I feel that whenever I see like a parent and a kid, especially if it's a lady and a kid, and like the woman is disciplining this child, and a lot of folks are like, oh my gosh, she's yelling at that kid. And I think to myself, what did that shitty kid do to drive this woman to where she is yelling at the kid? And but what did this kid do to this poor lady that she is this stressed out? That sweet, sweet Lynn is the demon twink of a child giving this woman
demon twink.
like Agita. I always side with the mom every
time. For sure. She probably has, she's at her wit's end. Do you have any friends that cry a lot? I think I know who you're gonna say.
I mean, I have a few friends who cry a lot. Mitch cries a lot.
Does he?
Mitch cries, yeah.
What the hell is Mitch crying about? What's wrong with him?
Ezra cries. Ezra cries all the time.
Does he really? Well, what are you doing to make Ezra cry?
Ezra will cry. I have a video on my phone. Maybe I can find it, and I'll ask Ezra if I can post it in the Patreon. But it is just a video. Ezra had a concert. We did a digital concert for Ezra.
For Girl Baby.
Yeah, no, it was before Girl Baby. It was just, I mean, he played Girl Baby, but he just did like, it was just like a quarantine, you know, we were all in quarantine finding ways. Mm-hmm, and I said, babe, let's just do a digital concert for you. So it was like this one day, and then like everything was coming. It was like you today. Everything was happening right at the right time. And then he just started like bawling. So then I did a Martha. I just started recording. I was talking to him. He was just like, everything is just happening so wonderful. And I can't believe things are all so great. And everyone's being nice to me. And he was just like bawling because of how great things were.
Sometimes you need to cry. I honestly genuinely believe in crying. Like sometimes you just have so much emotion built up. You need to like let it out. I definitely like had like other things going on, and I use like a movie or something that I really find emotional as a gateway to let that emotion out, because I genuinely feel leaving like that emotion bottled up inside is not good for you. You need to let those tears and that emotion flow so you can like get through it and want to the next thing. I feel that way. Do you watch things like intentionally to cry?
No. Let me say one thing. Answer the last question. Also, Peppermint cries a lot. One time me and Pep were playing. Yes.
Oh yeah, I remember when she was crying when she had to kill you.
Yeah, we were playing Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
And it's like a game where it's like basically like Friday 13th or something. And she was the killer. And I was like, hit me. Because I was like, we wanted to have another game. But I was like, hit me. And then she just started crying. And she was like, I don't want to kill you.
The video's on your YouTube. Y'all should watch it. It's very funny.
And I was like, Pep, just hit me. She goes, I don't want to hit you. So Pep is like this big monster with like a meat cleaver. And we're just like walking around this graveyard, like smelling flowers.
Pep or Eureka?
Oh my God. Eureka is also a crier. Eureka cries a lot.
Do you know who don't cry? Shangela, because she don't give a fuck.
Shangela does. I don't think I've ever. I'm not. I've seen Shangela cry on We're Here before.
I love Shangela.
I've seen Shangela cry once. Mateo.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Mateo cries.
Mateo cries probably the actually, I don't know how to think of it. Out of all of my friends, Mateo cries the most. And Mateo, if you are even anything less than completely nice to Mateo, he will start crying. I've made Mateo cry before.
That's what I thought your number one was going to be. That's what I thought that was the first name you were going to say, Mateo.
I think Alfredo made Mateo cry like two or three times. I said, actually, Alfredo, the other day I called Alfredo and I was like, girl, my episode of Lucifer's out. And then he was like, yeah, I've seen the clips on Instagram. And I said, oh, well, the whole episode's out now if you want to see it. And he was like, you know, I listen to your podcast and I watch your review show and I watch your TikToks and everything you do. I think it'll be fine if I miss this one thing. And I was like,
Alfredo is the opposite of someone who cries. Alfredo is literally, as the Lion and the Wiz would say, I'm gonna be no lie. Alfredo is just mean. Alfredo,
I've seen Alfredo cry before.
Have you? Can you say it on here?
The one friend of mine I really have not seen cry is Nick Smith. Nick is like the one close friend of mine that I've never seen cry.
Yeah, that's a good.
Everyone else I've seen cry. I've seen Jacob cry. Jacob cried. Oh my God! You remember when we did that? When we did the State of America? Jacob was crying with us in the basement.
Oh, was he really?
He was. We were recording, and then like Jacob, I'll never forget this. Jacob took off his glasses and went,
oh, Mom, Jacob, that's so cute. Yeah, those fucking white tears.
I've seen Jacob cry other times outside of that. But that is a distinctive memory I have. Like all three of us in the basement,
bitch.
Of at 162.
No, I was at home.
No, you were with us, weren't you?
No, I did it virtually.
It was me and Jason and me and Jacob in the basement. Yeah. And you were down at 140. Can we say your street now?
I was on 145th between Broadway and Riverside.
Which, by the way, I always tell y'all, if you watch
Work the World,
you will know, because they fully showed the dry cleaners right across one of those. I was like, not them showing the address. Crazy. Not wild doxing Monet Exchange.
My address is fully out, fully on Work the World. And I mean, they blurred it out a little bit, but you can use context clues to fucking figure out where the fuck I live.
Yeah, because the name of the company is not blurred out.
Yeah.
Just the address of the company is blurred
out. So I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, have we?
We didn't also, to whoever lived in Monet's old building, and you would see me and Monet in the building all the time, and Monet would see that person, them people, it was these gays, and she'd be like, oh, we're visiting a friend. And whenever me and Monet would be in the elevator, and we see this one little gay guy with a nice butt. Do you remember this gay guy had a really cute butt? Do you remember this?
Yes.
I remember being like, oh my God, this butt is great. And then he was like, oh my God, Monet Exchange, Bob the Drag Queen? Do you live here? And Monet was like, no, I'm visiting a friend. And I was like, at some point, would he be like, damn, Monet, stay visiting this friend?
And you know, packages still get sent to my old building. And they DM me. They're like, hey, girl, we have a package here for you. I'm like, what is wrong? Why are people still sending packages there? Probably a lot of press stuff is probably going to the house. But they got all kind of free shit over there.
Well, apparently, because my stuff used to get sent to Kennedy's place, because my front door was out. It was literally outside.
Yeah.
Like, if you opened my door, you were literally outside.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I never got package delivered to my place because they would get just fully mopped. So all my stuff went to Kennedy's place, and the folks who live there are like, oh, we stay getting stuff from promo packages and
yeah,
and
my shit. Stuff. Who knows what they got? They got all kind of fierce shit. I wish I had.
Have you had to cry on camera before?
I've never had to cry on camera. I would love to cry on camera. I would never have, though. I would love to. Have you?
Or on stage or in opera or anything?
No. Not opera is not really emotional like that. Opera is very like, done.
But is it, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about opera, but isn't like Maria Callas the one who like really put acting for opera on the map?
Sure, that argument can be made, but this people love. People don't love Mateo and Big Maria.
He's gonna cry.
Big Maria Callistans love to say that she was the one who started really acting as an opera singer, but she was not the first, and she won't be the last, because that bitch is what, dead. So many people used to cry before Maria Callas.
Jesus Christ. One time me and Mateo got into an argument, it was like an argument, and it was over Maria Callas.
Why? What were y'all arguing about?
I can't remember, but he was trying to say that, like, I can't remember quite what it was, but he was like talking about Maria Callas' impact. And I was like, yeah, like, and I mentioned someone contemporary. And he was like,
Renee Fleming?
I can't remember who it was.
Diana Demrow? Oh.
I can't remember who it was, but he was saying that this woman's impact would never scratch the surface of Maria Callas's. And I was like, well, I think that they both have really big impacts, and we were like, great. It was heated. And that's when I found out that he is very serious about this Maria Callas stuff. Like, he has a Maria Callas tattoo. It was serious,
Mateo,
girl.
Mateo is wild. Mateo is so funny. He is so crazy. Mateo is
I had to cry during Angels in America.
You had to cry in Angels in America?
8 shows a week, I had to cry.
I mean, did you ever struggle doing it, or it was very easy for you?
It was. I will say this: when you and an actor are like in the groove and you do it so often, it can, after 8 shows a week, feel less organic. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, Randy Harrison is a really brilliant actor. If you all don't know, Randy Harrison was in Queer as Folk. And you know, I'll say when we come back, actually.
Hello, it's me, Monet Exchange, and today I want to talk to y'all about one of our new sponsors, Thrive Cosmetics. Listen, they're an incredible company with some great products that I want to tell you all about. Thrive Cosmetics products are made with clean, high-performance, skin-loving ingredients. Their clinically proven formulas not only highlight your best features, they actually improve your skin over time. All Thrive Cosmetics products are formulated without parabens, sulfates, and phthalates. Thrive Cosmetics never tests on animals. They're Leaping Bunny and PETA certified as 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Thrive Cosmetics has a full mission that's truly bigger than beauty, darling. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive. That could be women emerging from homelessness, women who are surviving domestic abuse, women fighting cancer, and so many other causes. I love, 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 love the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. It has more than 11,800 five-star reviews and is a winner of the Allure Best of Beauty 2020 award. Now, people always ask me out of drag, like, what do I do, like, for makeup? I wear a little concealer and those little hot spots, you know, and I always wear mascara. Now, I learned that little trick from RuPaul at DragCon 2018 LA. I went to her booth and I was like, Ru, like, what do you do? Bitch, he had on some mascara, a little eyeshadow, and he smudged, and it changed my life. So that's what I do. It's a flake-free, smudge-free, and clump-free formula for all-day wear. And it's made with clean, nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. I love everything about Thrive Cosmetics. Their products are the best I've ever used, and their Bigger Than Beauty mission is truly inspiring. You're going to love them as much as we do. Visit thrivecosmetics.com/rivalry for 15% off your first order. This is an exclusive offer you can only get here. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/rivalry for 15% off your first order. That's thrivecosmetics.com/rivalry.
Now, y'all know me as a sophisticated and classy lady, so that's why I've started enjoying drinking fine wine. Oh yes, darling, fine wine. My current favorite place to get all my wine is Laithwaite's. At Laithwaite's, wine subscription is an easy way to bring exciting new wines right to your doorstep. Unbox a world of wine with easy access to different and unexpected winemakers from all over the globe. For over 50 years, Laithwaite's has been delivering wine the right way, from people who love making it to people who love drinking it. The wines you receive are curated for you based on your enjoyment, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love a wine for any reason, literally any reason at all, let Laithwaite's know and you'll receive a full refund. Laithwaite's tastes over 40,000 wines a year, but only 600 make the cut. Now, I don't know much about algebra, but that means that they are very selective of their wines, so you enjoy the creme de la creme, the creme de la crème. Each box includes tasting notes, food pairing tips, and serving inspiration. I can show up to my private parties with Kim and Naomi, not Bob, with the new, exciting, delicious bottle of wine every single time, girl. Now, get 6 amazing bottles of wine, plus 2 bonus bottles and 2 stemless wine glasses for $49.99 plus tax with free delivery. Just text RIVALRY to 64-000. To get the special offer, text RIVALRY to 64-000. That's RIVALRY to 64-000. Terms apply. Available at laithwaite.com/terms. Drink it up, y'all.
So, if you don't know, Randy Harrison was Justin in Queer as Folk. He's a really good actor, insanely talented, great singer. He's really just, he's great. So he made it really easy, especially in rehearsals, because it was brand new. We rehearsed for 3 months and then did the show for 3 months. So, but then after a while, I think I just got so used to seeing the emotion that it became hard to reach it. But then one day his understudy went on and everything changed just a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you're working with a new actor. Yeah. And I remember like it felt like back in rehearsal. I remember like losing it on stage. Like I was I lost it. There's this one scene in the play where we leave a funeral and it becomes clear to my character that
Belize.
His character. No, I wasn't Luis. I was
I said Belize.
I think it said Luis. Belize. It becomes clear to Belize that Pryor is losing his mind. Mm-hmm. And at one point he just can't. He just left the funeral. He's a nurse in an AIDS ward, and he just sees it all day long. And then he's starting to see these signs in his best friend. And he just freaks out, and he was like, he basically is saying, I can't remember the line, but it's basically like saying, you can't go crazy on me. You can't do this. Like, I need you to keep it together.
It's certified freak 7 days a week. That one, that line, right? Make that
pull out game week. But yeah, that's the scene, and like he has to like do this, and I remember that day coming on stage, and everyone was like, "Oh, girl, she was really feeling it tonight." there was a couple of times where if I have like, I mean, I know I should be giving the same performance every time, but when you do 8 shows a week, it's kind of hard, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there were a few times where like someone would show up in the audience, like Peaches would show up, or like. One of my friends from college would show up, or like Alfredo or someone, and I'd be like, "Oh, I'm acting for the children today, honey. I'm giving the children some when Naomi came, I gave Naomi the theater, honey." Because I was like, I feel like Naomi looks up to me. I really have to like do a good job. Yeah. And Naomi, it was crazy. Naomi is one of those friends who is just. She is really a remarkable person.
I fucking love that girl.
Yeah, she's great. Naomi like came and, but Naomi does not particularly love theater, but she said through 7 hours of theater.
That is devotion.
With an hour and a half break in between, she was like, it was really great. Like, I just was like so into it, and I'm so proud of you.
Like, Naomi is another person that's like such like a good friend. Like, she is not about that fake shit, and she like really shows up for her friends, and she's great. She's great and great. I'm not gonna, oh my God, my eyes are red. I can't. Wait, hold on.
I agree. Yeah, she's really phenomenal. But anyway, I was able to cry on, if you and I had to cry right now, right now you're emotional, so you probably beat me to the punch.
I could.
What do you think that you could cry if we had to right now?
Yes. You want to do it? Jacob, can you time it? And maybe we can put it on screen.
Wait, do you want to do a scene? Do you want to improv a scene?
What scene? What are we gonna see? Like to each other, just improv right now?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say some funny shit, and I'm not going to cry. I can't.
All right, so if we're just talking. Uh-huh. But also, I don't mean like just like a tear rolling from your eye.
No,
I mean like. Also, before we start, so something I learned in class. I remember in acting school when I was like 18, and I remember being like able to like really make myself break down and cry, and thinking to myself like, "Bitch, I'm the only fucking actor in this goddamn class. These bitches don't even know what's what."
God, that is so aggressive to cry. Jesus Christ.
So I started crying, and then I remember my teacher being like, "This is not good."
You see, you try to bring the comedy to get to knock me out. No, I see what you're doing, bitch.
No, to the story, she was like, "This is like, just because you can cry, like, does not mean you need to cry in every scene. Like, this is like you." She's like, "You are overly emotional. Like, ma'am, this is the Denny's."
little 5-year-old Bob was like, yeah, we out here crying, yo.
Yeah. She's like, "Man, this is a Denny's. I need you to write the emotion." We did a rehearsal of Angels in America, and at the end, the director was like, "Y'all are crying too much." He was like, "We can't, every scene can't be crying. We can't cry in every scene. Every scene can't just be like, like, this is, too, y'all gotta rein it in." You know, make it sparse, Mary. All right, so wait, how do we do this? Wait,
I don't know how to do this.
Should we find a sad monologue online, like one at a time?
No, I feel like we should read a sad. We should read a dramatic scene.
Because you can't think of anything to be you're proud of me.
I already told you 90 times I'm proud of you. I tell you all the time. I don't feel like telling you again today.
Damn, Alfredo joined the chat.
I reached my threshold of compliments for you, whore.
Girl, when Alfredo said, "I'll be fine if I miss this one," I said, "Damn."
You know what I love, appreciate about Alfredo though? You will never get some fake shit. Alfredo will never come and give you the fake shit. Alfredo's gonna tell you how he genuinely feels, and that's what I really appreciate about Alfredo. I can always get the honesty that you know.
No, that is true. I mean, this is what I've heard, was one of my best friends, and is one of my oldest friends, actually. Like he's just, I don't know, he's just really great. All right, I looked up sad monologues. Here's one called More Ways Than One.
Wait, send it to the chat.
Bitch, I don't even know what the fuck this one. I don't know anything about this monologue. It seems unfair if I were to like go back and do like one for Angels in America or something. Would that be cheating if I did an Angels in America monologue? Oh my God, Money, do you want to do oh my God, Jacob, can you find the one about the national anthem? I mean, it's not really a crying monologue. I do think it'd be inappropriate to cry in that particular monologue, but it is very, very. It's a very good monologue. I mean, I don't think Belize has like a crying monologue in Angels. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's also this this really, I don't know, maybe this feels exploitative and probably inappropriate, so we'll see if I need to edit this part out. But there's a really sad monologue in the Laramie Project.
Oh my God, I love Laramie.
Do you know the Laramie Project?
I don't. I know it's about HIV AIDS, but I don't. That's all I know.
It's not about HIV or AIDS, actually.
Is that?
Nope. The Laramie Project is about Matthew Shepard, and
Of course, I know Matthew Shepard is. You think I wasn't born in the 90s, bitch?
I feel like you just thought he had AIDS. So.
Well, I thought The Laramie Project was a movie akin to Angels in America, or like a documentary of Angels in America. That's what I thought The Laramie Project was. That's what
my Laramie Project said. is about Laramie, Wyoming, which is where Matthew Shepard lived. Right. And I think but anyway, he has a famous monologue. His father has a famous monologue in the show, it's really a powerful monologue. He's reading a note to his son's killers. Do you want to read that?
Oh my God, that sounds a little inappropriate. I feel weird reading that.
Well, it's part of the play. It's a monologue in the play.
Okay.
See, this might be fully inappropriate because it fully is.
I feel like it might be inappropriate. For like a challenge, this needs a little.
Also, Viola Davis's monologue in Fences, which is so good.
Oh my God, I never saw Fences.
You never saw Fences?
I didn't. I need to watch it, right?
Oh, it's so good. It is really brilliant.
Viola Davis is fucking brilliant. What a great. I saw this clip of her talking about like acting, and oh my God, she's just so. Oh, she's so amazing. Viola Davis is so fierce.
She's one of those people who, did you see she tweeted out? She tweeted out, I know what y'all be saying about me and my snot. Because she's famous for like snots and spits when she's like doing her acting, girl.
Fences, Rose's monologue.
It's really good. So this monologue is about, what's happening here is Troy, her husband, has he has a bit of a drinking problem, and he sometimes has a feeling like he's the only one sacrificing anything in a relationship. And in this monologue, she lets him know that he's not the only one who's been sacrificing things. All right, do you want to try it?
I mean, so wait, are we both reading it?
We can both read it, yeah.
Like separately?
Yeah, bitch, separate.
Okay, who's going first?
Should this be Patreon exclusive? Maybe this should be Patreon exclusive.
Damn, y'all be trying to really, y'all be getting the listeners. Damn, I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all heard Bob. He's gonna make the Patreon exclusives. I'm gonna just go with what he won't do.
Yeah. I guess I'm really twisting Monet's arm on this one. Y'all ain't never seen Monet lay down and roll over nothing once in her life. Monet's like, I mean, it's Bob. Bob's really,
Okay, yeah, make a Patreon exclusive. All right, y'all. All right, that's it. That's the episode about crying. I just love you so much, Roberta.
Real quick before I go, did you know they say you have you ever cried in a movie on a plane?
I think I have like once, maybe.
Statistically,
Patty, stay crying in movies on a plane.
Statistically, people cry more when they watch movies on planes than they do on the ground. I do not know. It's like a phenomenon. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. It's not a chemical thing. It's just like one of those weird coincidences. Because they're like, is it altitude? Is it blah blah blah? People just get more emotional on planes.
That's weird.
Then maybe it's like this feeling of like you're in the air and it feels dangerous, and then you're watching this thing. And I've watched some very sad movies. I watched the Amy Winehouse documentary on a plane.
Oh my god, I did too. I watched Amy in the Air.
I was like, oh, this is sad. But anyway, I don't know why I brought that up at the last minute when we're leaving. I love you very much, Mom.
I love you very much, Roberta. I'm very happy for you, and I'm proud of everything that you do. And even though we argue and we fight and we say dumb shit, and I think an episode before this or two, we were really on one together. And I just love you so much. And in spite of all of that, in spite of everything that you are,
well, I love you very much, too. And I know a lot of people, some people are like, oh, my God, this argument is too much. I'm like, y'all, the podcast is called Sibling Rivalry. Like, I don't understand what is going on where you come to this podcast, a podcast called Sibling Rivalry, and you're like, I just cannot believe they're arguing so much. Bitch, yes, Monet and I argue a lot. This is part of our friendship. But I think that you and I have a very healthy relationship. I think that you and I talk everything out, ad nauseum even. Which I think is part of why we are such a great team.
I think so too.
No fake hoes over here at Sibling Rivalry, honey.
Yeah, this ain't the Bald and the Beautiful. This ain't Race Chase the Pod.
All right, on that note, thank you so much, everyone. Have a good night.